We'd like to welcome everybody today to this Belmont Board meeting. And everybody will take a look at the minutes real quick. Let's review the minutes.
Motion to adopt.
We have a motion. Gordon made a motion to adopt the minutes.
I'll second it.
Craig seconded. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries unanimous. I believe what we're going to do today is we're going to change the order and we'll have the executive session at the very end. So we will move to the general session. And the next one on is license and report for January through March. That would be Kathy.
Do they have, you don't get this?
We do, yes.
Are there any questions at all on that? Basically, you know, you're talking about the agency licenses coming up in July, so it's just the initial part of that.
All these licenses that do have a lapse date, I guess they're apparently not moving forward to the license renewal.
What you can do is if they lapse on some day, you can look in the other ones. They have up to a year to reinstate their license. So if they let it lapse, then you know it may be the next month or the month there afterwards, or up to a year. But if they are actually an agent or producer working for you, then they're not licensed, they shouldn't be able to be at all if their name's actually on that list.
Does anybody have any questions there? Okay, let's move on. Summary of the enforcement report, Kathy.
Basically, I kind of wanted to bring it up too in this that we started doing the audits, okay? So, three audits were conducted during the last period of time, and unfortunately, I know that Gordon had mentioned that he'd do the next one that would be audited, and,
It's so true.
No truer words have ever been spoken.
It's ironic. But bottom line is what I'm doing is I'm doing it based upon when the last audit was done. So if you remember, the first one was back in 2010, 2011. I'll be getting a hold of the agreement and we'll be going from there.
So you're basically going in the same order?
Yes, I am. I figured that was the most fair way to.
And it's not fun.
No, but I am firm and fair, right?
Yes, I always say that. Yeah, she's very firm, but you're very fair.
And that's what we aim to do.
Overall, the audits, how are they coming?
Overall, I think they're very, very good. It's as I said to Gordon earlier, the things that came out of the last audit regarding trust funds, well, and trust accounts, et cetera, et cetera. People were educated at that particular time, and so they really learned how to do, or at least what I've seen so far. New agencies, when they come in, because I did a couple of those audits too, after a year, those agencies were very cognizant of the difference between the trust and the other accounts that you do have, so that part was not a problem.
The agencies just coming in, the new ones, are they up to speed on the trust accounts because as they apply, you go over those things with them, or is it because they've come to the agents, or a combination of both?
The other agents, the other agencies, Paul had actually educated them at the time that they were coming in. And so any that have come or applying, et cetera, that's one of the education points that I do communicate is that trust accounts need to be established and operating, et cetera, et cetera. So, those things we try to educate and so so that it's not coming as a shock at a later
date. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes.
So on the agency audits, how many agencies is it that you audit, and how many have you done in this new cycle?
There are 35 agencies, bill agencies. Currently, I've done three. I've got two that I'm preparing to send the paperwork out to do the audits in May, and then I'm just going to continue to get them done that way so that, you know, the cycle will be taken care of.
And I know last time we had the audits done, you came and did them in our office. Has the procedure changed?
There are some that we will be having come here. There are some that, you know, a little bit of it is circumstances. But overall, we try to accommodate and make sure that we get them taken care of correctly.
Is it any faster to do it at an office versus information coming up to you up here?
It can be, because when I have to go ahead and pull the various bonds to make sure that it's kind of, you know, just a pull that way, it's not any specific ones or what have you, having the records right there rather than having them all on it. But there, you know, we can work that out. So
out of the three that were done, how many of them were done on site?
The three were
all
actually here.
Oh, all of them were done here.
Yeah, I was very uncooperative too.
I imagine you give the agency that you that's next to, in your queue, notice, and then give them information as to what it is you're going to need to have access to.
Correct.
So you get out of their hair as soon as possible.
One of the things is the letter goes out, and along with the audit, what I mean regarding the audit, I am trying to give at least 2 weeks so that, because, you know, I'm asking for records. And the operating accounts and all this bonding information, and I'm asking for about a year's worth. And so the records should all be there, but it's just getting them all together, because according to the code, they should be all on site anyway. So it's just a matter of getting enough time so that they can be
compiled. Thank you.
So as far as that part goes, if you have any questions.
I do. On when you kind of not going back towards the licensing and that, on the website, is that list of current agencies, or is that a current list of agencies on the insurance.gov website?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Katie. Mm-hmm. It is a current list. Anytime the courts and the jails and everybody, the courts use that list.
We
do
verify.
The jails use that list. We did have a little bit of a glitch the other day where we tried to get into any of the other ones other than the first one. Mm-hmm. It just sent you to an anonymous moment.
Okay. Yes.
Purgatory gave us a call, so we got that taken care of.
Okay, good.
So if you notice that. So anytime that you change your telephone numbers, anytime that the bail agencies change their email address or their place of business, that information we need it immediately so that we can update that and if anything's going out to you. The other thing too is if you're changing locations, your forms need to be changed, because you have to file that with property and casualty, and the forms have up to 30 days to 45 days before the final approval comes here. So you have to think about these things in advance.
One question when it comes to, and I hadn't thought about that, but if you do change locations, you will have to change the address on the forms.
Yes.
Is it going to take the full 30 to 45 days for them just to verify an address change, where all the text and all the contractual part of the form is the same?
That's what's in the code on that, but you can always call Tracy. I'm not that department.
Okay, I was just wondering if
you had that part I couldn't tell you.
I can speak to that. The Property Casualty Division has a policy of, as long as the form is complete, turning it around within 30 days. And so if you're especially anxious, please give the department a call, and we can prioritize that. But generally, they're pretty quick about that. Because we are file and use in most other forms, we're not looking at every single form. But we do look at the bail forms. We look at there's certain forms we look at. One of them are the bail forms.
They've always been very responsive. I was just curious if there was, if that comes up, it was a way to fast track or something. It sounds like maybe just a call to Tracy would help. Yes, Suzette?
And I might also say we just replaced that person, so we have a new person on board, so there may have been a little short period of time, like a week or so, but it might be a little slower.
So Tracy is no longer?
No, Tracy's there, but the forms reviewer moved out of state.
And her name, Lee, is Kathy.
Yeah, just call and ask for Kathy.
Yeah. You'll be good to go.
All right. The next thing on the agenda for me, did you have any questions about the report?
Does anybody else have any questions? I think we're good. Go ahead and move on.
Okay.
Just don't make Kathy mad and you're on.
That's true. Okay, it looks like the next item on our agenda is the application. Or is it? I'm not just asking. Suzette kind of pointed out that maybe I needed to go back and look through the cases that were opened, the other investigations that were actually conducted. There has been reference to a case last month that, the last meeting that it was a complaint process, so I was in the process of taking the appropriate steps on it. Currently, that case is with FRAW.
It has been sent over to FRAW?
Yes, it has been.
Which would, I would assume, does that leave our case open here? Or?
Our case is closed until their case is finished.
So the fraud division has received that complaint, they've reviewed that complaint, the complaint appeared to have merit on its face and it's been referred to investigation. I don't know that we're able to report much past that because it is the department's criminal unit, but it is still being looked at by the department, even though market conduct has moved it up the food chain, if you will.
Great, thank you.
Does anybody
have any questions on that? Okay, we've talked about the audits. Mm-hmm. Gary.
When it goes to the fraud investigation unit, what's the timeline on that typically?
That I would have to defer to Brett because I have
Brett.
Yeah, you know, it really depends. It depends on their other casework, their caseload, the prioritization of this case. I spoke with the fraud director this morning on this matter, and he indicated that he'd asked the investigator to look at it sooner than later. It has been assigned to a specific investigator. That was just done within the last week. In this case, we are going to ask him to prioritize it, but how long the investigation will take and if criminal charges are filed, that really will depend.
So we're talking multiple months in all probability, then, probably, right?
Probably. Hopefully, we'll be able to report back at our next meeting, our next scheduled meeting in
July.
Great.
Regarding the e-cases, there are a couple that have been open over 180 days, and they are the same ones that we've talked about. There was a new e-case open. That one, it's going to be a long fight. Quite quickly,
so it should be resolved in, before the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, we're just going to keep the microphone at Kathy's.
Yeah. Okay,
summary of the planned court visits.
All right. Yes. We kind of with winter and things, we kind of tabled going out, but I do have them all scheduled, the last ones. April 26th, I'm going up to Box Elder County Jail and also to the First District Courts and the Justice Courts up that way. May 19th and 20th, I've got scheduled to stop the Summit, Silver Summit District Court and Justice Court, then Wasatch County Jail. jail, plus the Hebrew District Court and Justice Courts. And then Duchesne, and obviously those courts there, Uinta County Jail, and then Daggett. So we'll have it all done before the next meeting that we have at the end of the month.
Very good. And just a question, you probably already mentioned this, but I forgot, but in the past, all the jail visits that you made, did you also stop in the courts?
Yes, I did.
At the same time?
Yes, I did. And generally speaking, you know, with the courts, I've reported every time that, you know, there's been a compliment to bail agencies, and there have been a couple. So I let you guys know that, you know, kind of the heads up that.
Were they excited to have a representative actually show up?
Yes, actually, you know, at the courts, because of that, there's been quite a few times where they've actually, the justice courts have called me, or, you know, and I've been able to say, well, no, you still need this one more piece, so it's been really good. So, oh, then they can go back and say, okay, we're not done with our part yet. And then usually it's resolved, so I know that that court is true.
It's great.
Yeah.
Has there been anybody that you've had a problem with, or?
As far as?
Anybody that's been resistant to, you know, the change or any of your?
No, if you're talking about courts and jails, no. Everybody's been, you know, very gracious that way. The prosecuting office is, you know, if I have a question, because I get questions from bail agencies, I'll give a call to that particular court and talk to the prosecutor. They've been just really, really good about educating me so that I can educate others. So that's helped. So no, the feedback's actually been very good.
It's amazing how much easier it is for you to walk in and get something versus us.
Mr. Chair, I'm curious, do the courts call you very often, or the jails? Do you get phone calls from them asking?
I get
for information, and if so, what type of information are they usually looking for?
What usually happens is you've got a few of the small justice courts that are calling and saying, okay, we've got this one, we've done this, we've done that, we've got the judgment, but we haven't sent out the notification, and I'll say, well, you have to send that out. Generally, they'll pay before the time has lapsed on that part of it because they don't want to come into me. And that's usually what happens. Sometimes they'll call and say, we've got another one that's in the pipe, and this other one's coming up. And so sometimes if I know that, you know, I've even called the bail agencies and let them know that maybe they need to get a hold of the court and get it taken care of before it becomes a problem or an issue. Now sometimes I get forfeitures from certain courts and they'll pull them back because they've made some arrangements after they've sent it.
Good. Now they know who to call.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Very good. Okay, moving on. New business. We discussed the setting the timeline to develop the 2015 legislation.
Well, I can speak to that a little bit if you'd like, Mr. Chair.
If you would, please.
As many of you know, Representative Oda, I think that the bill was introduced, wasn't it? Or was it just a protected?
I think it was ever introduced.
Okay, there was a draft that Representative Oda was interested in promulgating, and Representative Oda asked if the insurance department would sit down with members of the bail bond board and members of the bail bond association and kind of work through that draft and come up with some suggestions. We were actually in the process of doing that, and we were actually meeting when we were told that the bill would not be moving forward this past session, but Representative Oda has asked the commissioner, Commissioner Kaiser, of the department to stay involved and to work with those two entities, the Bail Bond Board and the Bail Association, to develop a piece of legislation for next session in 2015. And so Brad had wanted this on the agenda so that we can talk in an open setting as far as kind of what that process is and what the next steps are, and maybe develop a timeline if possible, and set some goals so that we're not in next March working on a bill that may not have time to get through.
And as far as your time schedule, because you're going to be a part of this,
The department would be happy to take the lead on this, and since the department is not a member of the association, perhaps we could suggest a couple of different times and work through you, Mr. Chair, if that's okay. And,
sure.
And then that way you can coordinate with the association, and we'll find some time that will work for us to go through the current draft and to come up with something that the commissioner could support as well as Representative Oda. And so maybe mid-May,
yeah, next couple of weeks. We need to start as soon as possible, because with vacations and things that are going to come up through the summer, I think we can start now. So we've got it cemented in stone before we can launch.
I agree.
Before the next session even starts.
So with your permission, I will I'll take the lead on that and get the meeting set up and start moving forward.
I appreciate that. Any questions there? Wayne?
I'll make sure I understand the time frame here. You're talking about meeting with the department by mid-May? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I think we can arrange that. Yeah, that's not an issue.
I know, just speaking for my schedule, I've got some obligations at the end of April, and I've got some stuff next week is Easter, and so thinking first or second week in May, if that works for members of the Bail Bond Board and Association and other interested parties, that's what I'll shoot for, first or second week in May.
Perfect. Just give me those dates and I'll get them out there.
Okay. Other than a Monday, right?
Yes. Other than Mondays and Fridays.
Okay. Something midweek.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you, Brett. Old business. Changes to R590-186-8. Brett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was the rule that we had worked on for a couple of different sessions. I'm pleased to report that the department, a.k.a. Julie Whitney, got the rule filed on March 14th. And its effective date was also March 14th of 2014, so a little less than a month ago. That rule, as you recall, had to do with an investigation of unprofessional conduct. And in that process, the rule indicated that the department needs to communicate with the bail bond board and get input from the bail bond board with regard to investigating that unprofessional type conduct. And so that rule is now effective.
Very good. And Brett, if you will discuss the replacement.
Yes.
On our board.
On the department's website, there is a posting up seeking an attorney member of the bail bond board.
I made a copy of that.
Oh, Jalene made a copy of it. It's up in her office. But you can find that on the department's website. Essentially, what this is somebody to fill the unexpired term of
Laura Miller.
Her term, so it's really another year. Her term expires June 30th of 2015. The application, we have not had any applications as yet. The application deadline is June 25th. The commissioner anticipates that if he does get applications, he'll make a decision and an appointment before our next meeting on July 9th. So if you know of an attorney that would be interested and willing to serve on the bail bond board, it is a non-compensated position other than you do get lunch on a quarterly basis. Please have them look at that notice on our website, and they can send their letter of interest to me. And we'll be in touch, and hopefully we'll get another attorney member here. If we don't, then we'll bring that back to the board next month to discuss other options, or next quarter.
And I would ask that anybody that has an attorney might be interested in the board. Wayne?
I've been asked to clarify whether an attorney on the board can be hired by bail bond agents.
It would be a conflict.
Is there a conflict? Yeah.
You know, one, they can certainly apply. Two, that may be a consideration that the commissioner may want to take into account. But as an attorney, though not licensed to practice in the state of Utah, It's all about disclosure, and so I would think it would be up to the attorney to disclose whether or not that individual was representing or had any had a client interested in a certain matter that may be discussed in front of the bail bond commission or bail bond board. To use an example, the insurance department has another group that's similar to the bail bond board. That's the title commission. There are a couple of attorneys that sit on the title commission, though there's no requirement that they be an attorney. But when those individuals have an issue affecting their company or their client, they recuse themselves from voting on those matters. And so my response to your question would be absolutely please encourage them to apply. I think having attorneys that are engaged in and knowledgeable about the bail bond business would be an asset. I may only be speaking for myself, but I see Brad and Katie nodding their head. I think they'd be an asset, so please encourage them to apply, and it would just be a disclosure issue based on their ethical responsibilities under the state bar.
And I guess it wouldn't just be people that have maybe that somebody that's being retained at the present time by a Belmont company or a Belmont agent, but the question really would arise, could a Belmont agency hire one of our board members?
That would be something that we probably need to have the AG weigh in on. I think that's a different issue than...
Because at that point, you're going to decide if you're ever going to use this attorney, you probably would not recommend him for the board if you would not be able to.
Yeah, if he's billing his client to participate on the bail bond board, I think that would be a problem.
So I think it would kind of be the same scenario. If they are a client presently, could they be, or if you presently have a client that is a Belmont company, could you sit on the board? It would be the same thing if you had an attorney on the board, would they not be able to be hired by Belmont company?
Again, I think it comes down to disclosure.
Okay. Could you just check with the commissioner and see what his thoughts would be on that?
Certainly. Would you like me to communicate that back through you?
If you would, yes.
Okay.
And that has a lot to do with who you're actually going to put on the board. And anybody that has anything to do and any real knowledge of the bail bond industry, it's because they do have clients.
Yeah, having a client in the bail bond industry, I don't see as an issue. If an attorney is actively working for a client and advocating as a member of the bail bond board, I think that is inappropriate.
Very good. And other business. Does anybody have anything else that you need to go over?
At the risk of talking too much, Glenn Minson from the Division of Consumer Protection, the gentleman that was here last month that gave us some training, I guess, for lack of a better word, with regard to the pawn shop and secondary hand merchant law, indicated that he will be sending out an educational type letter to bail bond agencies and bail bond producers, informing them of the law and what that means for them. So be looking for that between now and our next meeting. And he is willing to come to any future meetings if the board would like him there to help us understand and work through any issues there.
And I've talked to him also, and he did say that they are going to allow one license per agency, so each agent does not need to all be licensed. If you want your agents to be independently licensed, that can be done also, but one registration per agency would cover all your agents. Any questions there? If there is no other, does anybody else have any new business or other business? If not, I would move that we go into executive session.
Okay, I think we need to state the purpose for going into executive session and then take a vote.
Okay, I believe the purpose would be to discuss this new application. We need to vote on that. We have somebody. Okay. Gordon made the motion, Katie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimous.
Mr. Chair, as a board member, I will stay. Do you want members of the department to stay? Do you have questions for them?
I think yes. We would like the department. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
All of the members of the department. And then if we could ask everybody else to step out.